Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 24. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. This is the text. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Last week, we heard John's message from his first epistle. John wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life." John says, "That is what I am continuing to proclaim to you." John's focus was to bear witness of the evidence of the risen Son of God. In our first reading this morning, we hear the words of Peter, who testified before the people of Jerusalem. He was a witness of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And Peter said, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer, Barabbas, to be released. And you killed the author of life. And we are witnesses that God raised him from the dead." We are witnesses of these things. This is legal language. We are willing to testify under oath. We are willing to stand before judges and kings and emperors. We are willing to die rather than change our testimony, because our testimony is true, and our testimony is the difference between life and death for you. The disciples understood this after the resurrection. The disciples' willingness to tell others about Jesus rising from the dead and their understanding of who Jesus was, this changed greatly after the resurrection, to where they were willing to testify, bear witness of him, no matter what the consequences. It's very different than how the disciples responded to stress before the resurrection. Before Jesus rose from the dead, Peter denied even knowing him 3 times. Even though Jesus told Peter in the upper room, "You know you're going to do this," warning you ahead of time, he still did it when push came to shove. All along their journey to Jerusalem, as Jesus tells them specifically again and again what's going to happen, they as a group reject Jesus' notion that there is persecution and suffering and death waiting for him, and later on for them, as they will drink of that same cup of suffering. The apostles, they were looking for a glorious end and a place within, you know, the kingdom that Jesus was going to establish. They were most concerned about who was going to have the most important positions, who would sit at his right and his left when he comes into his kingdom. They wanted the places of honor and power. They wanted success. Well, after Jesus is arrested, the disciples certainly are not acting very successful. They lock themselves into a room and hide because they think they might be the next ones nailed to a cross. They do not yet understand what it is that Christ has done. Everything changes when Jesus stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." Everything doesn't change right away. At first, they're startled. They're frightened. They think they see a ghost. Jesus says, "Look at my hands, my feet. Touch me. Ghosts don't have flesh and bone. Ghosts don't have feet. I mean, if you drew a picture of a ghost, would you draw him having feet? Think about it. Of course not. Everyone knows ghosts don't have feet. I mean, have your child or grandchild draw a ghost. I guarantee you they will not put feet on it. Everyone knows that, especially feet that have been pierced, as Jesus could show the scars. The disciples were in disbelieving joy. It didn't make any sense to them yet. So he ate a piece of fish with them to further show that he really has a body. I mean, ghosts don't eat solid food. It just falls right through. I mean, we've all seen that in the movies, right? I mean, everybody knows that. But as convincing as seeing and hearing and touching him was, the real change only happens for the disciples when he opens their minds to understand the scriptures and everything written about him in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms was finally made clear to them. Then and only then did these things make sense. Only after he opened their minds to understand the scriptures did the disciples understand what Jesus had told them, how he would be betrayed into the hands of the scribes and chief priests and delivered to the Romans and be mocked and beaten and spit upon and eventually nailed to a cross. Only then did the words of scripture from the Old Testament concerning the suffering of the Son of Man and the references to him being pierced, you know, like in Psalm 22 or Zechariah 12 or Isaiah 53. Only now do these words finally make any sense to them. Only after Scripture was opened to them do they remember what he had said about being raised up on the third day, and that the only sign that he would give to them was the sign of Jonah, who was 3 days in the belly of the fish. Jesus would be 3 days in the belly of the earth. Only now, after the resurrection, do the disciples understand what Jesus meant about destroying the temple, and in 3 days he would build it up once again. Only now do the disciples understand these things. But their job, their task in life, was not simply to understand. Jesus tells them repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, but don't stop there. There are people whom God loves in places like Quincy, Illinois, who also need to hear this word of life, the word of life from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and know that Christ covered their sin, your sin, with his blood also. You are witnesses of these things. What a joy this weekend as we have the ongoing Ambassadors for Christ with us. You are witnesses of these things, as they have been bearing witness of the risen Christ in and around the neighborhood, yesterday in particular. And I'm interested to hear about your time in our community, how that's been. Their task, again, it was to go throughout door to door, greet our neighbors, share the word of God, God's word of life, that same word found in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and all throughout Scripture. You are witnesses of these things. And I appreciate the ongoing work that you do, hence the name. Now, for everyone here, I urge you to understand that all of you have an opportunity to bear witness of God's word of life. Now, each of us have different callings in life. I always say, I thank the Lord that not everyone, that not every man decided, to go off to the seminary to be a pastor, because we'd have no roads or food. And so we have different vocations in life. We all have different spheres of influence. However, we all start at the same place. We all start with the Word of God and our personal need to receive it, and having received it, grow in our understanding of that word of life so that we can better share that with others. Your minds need to be opened to understand the scriptures. This doesn't happen in one weekend or one time coming to church or Bible class. As I said a few weeks ago in a sermon, I was quoting Aristotle, we are what we repeatedly do. I mean, you come to church once, you go home and say, well, nothing seemed to change. You know, the wall that was there is probably still there. Unless by the grace of God, the miracle of faith happens. But the ongoing nature of the Word of God, being living and active, working upon you, it makes a significant change, especially over time. For those whom the OAFC witnessed to this weekend, are we going to see dozens of our neighbors, you know, gathering for worship with us later this morning, maybe second service, maybe next week? Unfortunately, probably not. Unless by the grace of God, the miracle of faith happens. But our task is to keep holding out that message of grace and peace, to keep ministering to all of those whom God has placed in our path. It is our task to keep sharing that word of life and allow the Holy Spirit to work through His means of grace, through that word, open their minds to understand scriptures and what it is that Christ has done, covering the guilt of your sin with His own blood. Success is not measured in numbers. Whatever your calling is in life, God does not call you to be successful. He calls you to be faithful. And whatever sphere of influence you have, especially in regard to the kingdom of God, through your words and through your actions, you are witnesses of these things. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.